We're going to do that, and then we're going to have a special video while we take the offering. We're also going to have a new treat because we're going to welcome some new members today, which will be exciting. And then we also are going to be having a skit, which is very, very powerful. So we want to, first of all, recognize some people. So we're going to mention your name, and we're going to ask you to stand up, just so we don't have to trot everybody back and forth. We thought it might just be easier if we walk a card to you. Steve and Lisa Bruns, stand up, please. They've been serving in the Christian Learning Center for years, making duplicates of the sermons and the services. If you want a copy, you see Steve. Phil Notes, where's Phil? Is Phil here? Is he on duty? Where's Phil? No Phil Notes. Is there a Nancy Notes? There's his lovely wife, Nancy, in the back. Phil, of course, is in charge of our facility, and he's works tirelessly so that we have a nice church to meet in. Amen? Also, Dennis Boyle and his wife, Joanne. Dennis is the chairman of LCS, Liberty Classical School. And Joanne, for the past year, has been organizing our prayer chain, although she's handing that off currently. Also, many of you know, we're going to give Dave a workout today, by the way. I should be doing the running because I need to lose the weight, but anyway, yeah. It didn't work out that way.
Your back will take it.
Yeah, that's right. Tom and Kim McKnight. Tom is the director of Liberty for Life, and Kim, as you know, organizes meals and flowers for people that are in the hospital. Greg and Melinda Tyler. Oh, Greg's... Melinda? There she is. Greg's downstairs cooking your lunch. Extra applause for Greg. Yeah, food. But Greg's the chairman of the missions committee, as you know. He's on the LCS board, and Melinda is... Greg is where he is because of Melinda. Let's just all be honest, right? We all know that's true. Terry Lyon, our treasurer for the past year. Where's Terry? Terry is... Susie's here.
You don't look like Terry.
Also, special family, Steve and Sandy Sanders. Steve is involved in the audiovisual ministry, Bible quizzing. Sandy runs our children's Christmas program. She's involved in worship, and she's involved in the quiz ministry. They adopt kids every other year, so they're doing it all. Jim and Kathy Cummings, they here? Jim has been our children's director for years, for several years now, with Kathy assisting him, and he's kind of passed the torch to Laura Dean, but we wanted to acknowledge Jim for his years of service. Speaking of the deans, Mike and Laura Dean, are they here? There they are. Mike is on our building committee, and he's the brains on the committee. Nothing against the other guys.
Who made God?
What's that?
Who made God?
Ask Mike who made God.
Who made God, Mike?
That's an inside joke I don't know about. Anyway, Laura is... What's that?
Number one catechism.
Oh, catechism. Who made God? So Laura is now running the children's program, and we're focusing on catechism, so it's really, really exciting. Is Dan here? Dan is organizing our ushering ministry. We appreciate all that. He is also on the LCS board. He's also a board member of our classical school. John and Holly Silberhorn here. Stand up. No, John? John's not here? They run the Angel Food Ministry, where we're helping to feed some people in the community that are struggling. And also Holly last year did PR for us and really promoted the Voice of Liberty radio program. She did a wonderful, wonderful job for that ministry. Dan and Dawn Terry here. Dawn, as you know, is on the worship ministry, and of course, she runs her VBS ministry, which is a great outreach. course, we're saving some of the best for last, so we're going to we want to recognize Dave and Cindy Wilson. Where are they? Dave's out in the hallway. We need to pray for Dave. No, I'm just kidding. Dave is director of Liberty Productions. That is our drama ministry, and just does a wonderful job with his wife's assistance of reaching the community. Every year we put on a Christmas carol, as you know. Last year, what do we estimate? 900 people saw the production, probably. So we would appreciate that. Cindy runs the children's drama, which we're going to be having in June. What's the date in June?
14 and 15.
June 14 and 15, right?
Yeah.
You want to do a little promo for that right now?
Well, if there's anybody that missed auditions yesterday and still interested, let me know. Okay, it's kids from 8 to 16, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it'll be during the church services, June 14 and 15. And it's an outreach, so bring friends and stuff. The gospel will
right.
be given.
Yeah, amen. Good. Thank you, guys. We love you very much. Can you give them a card? Thank you. Also, Jeannie Whitty's been assisting Dave Wilson. The Whitty's here. And Rob Whitty, the one and only Scrooge. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Oh, we had to save the best for last. We want to acknowledge our current staff, our current deacons and their wives. So we just would like to ask them to come forward quickly. You all know who you are, so come forward. If you don't know you're on the staff, then we need to talk. They are?
After we all pick up my brother.
Okay, we're going to get your... Don't worry, we'll get your brother. The Bonds. Mike Bond is currently our administrator. He's a finance chair, LCS teacher, and on the worship team. Jake does just about everything that Mike doesn't do. Jake is a deacon, financial chairman, secretary. He's now the treasurer, and he does audiovisual ministry. His wife, Susie, coordinates the ministry. And what else did I forget? He's raising three kids. He got a brand new one just a few days ago. You want to... Tell us about the new baby.
He's beautiful. I can't wait to bring him here to show y'all. And it was quite an experience. Three boys, so be in prayer.
Be in prayer. One of those natural deals, you know?
Yeah.
Steve and Jada Inman. Steve is on the, in addition to being a deacon, he's on the build facility committee, and his wife Jada's involved in the worship ministry. Sammy and Judy Grisham. Sammy is director of the Open Arms Ministry, so if you come to church and you don't feel welcome, you blame Sammy. And Judy, of course, assists him, and she's also running a ministry where she's visiting nursing homes, which is very important, so we encourage you to consider doing that with her. And of course, Rick, what's that? Oh yeah, the Women's Bible Study on Friday morning, I'm sorry. I knew I'd forget something. Rick and Gina Pfister. Rick is a deacon. He's also our outreach coordinator, our director, with his wife there on the board of El Shaddai Ranch. So they really have a passion for the lost, which is very, very exciting. Amen. And not last but not least, Marty and Tammy Kinsey. Marty is a deacon. He's, of course, our worship director, and we're all blessed by him just about every week. He's also heading up now the men's ministry. where they meet monthly on Saturday mornings for breakfast and devotions. And Tammy, of course, is the key to Marty's success. Amen. I'd like to pray a blessing on our staff. Father, we thank you for these men and women and all that they do for you, ultimately. We know that they're serving the church because they love you. They love your church because they love you. And Lord, this morning as we recognize them and show our appreciation for them and other ministry leaders that we've acknowledged, Lord, we ultimately are acknowledging your work in and through us. We know it's all about you, Jesus. It's you giving us the vision, you giving us the passion, you giving us the power to minister, to even care enough to minister. I pray your richest blessings on the staff and on all the ministry leaders in the church. Protect their marriages. Protect their children. Lord, I pray that they will continue to love you and grow in their faith and their service to you. We pray, Lord, for your glory alone. Amen. Amen. Give it up for the staff. We're not done. We're going to run a video in a minute. There's three ministries that we've partnered with over the years that reach the community. We want to acknowledge. One is the Pillar Foundation. Mike and Sharon Cordner, are they here? Where are they? One is Teens for Christ, Tim and Kim Ward, and the other is El Shaddai Ranch, Rick and Gina Pfister. Just stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Mike and Sharon aren't here this morning? Okay. All right. We're going to take the offering. While we take the offering this morning, we're going to run a little video just showing some pictures of the body of Christ. So we need a couple deacons to come forward and pass the offering plates, please.
See, we'll broken road prepares your will for me.
Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? Wasn't that fun? They showed a guy teaching without any hair. That wasn't me. That was Tom McKnight. But just in case there was any confusion there. We're going to welcome new members, but we need to appreciate two more people that are very, very special. Have lights? 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 Lights, cameras, action. Two people very, very special, without which I and my associate could not function, and that is our wives, Diane Vaughn and Catherine Voss. Come forward. come forward. Neither one of them want to be up here, right?
Right.
Right? And so there's no way we couldn't acknowledge them, because you guys would think we're all really slugs if we didn't mention our own wives, right? But they do, as you know, if you're involved in ministry, our wives are behind the scenes praying, counseling, encouraging, serving in many ways. Running the women's ministry, Bible study, all kinds of things. And probably the hardest things are the things you don't see. So, you know, this acknowledgement is certainly not sufficient in any way, but we want you to know, not only do we appreciate you, but the whole church appreciates you. Amen? Woo! Give it up. Give it up. A word from the wise. Go on. You want to say something? Go on.
I just wanted to tell my husband that I was just really proud of him.
Okay. Thank you. You have to say it now too.
Ditto. Same thing.
Ditto. I love it. That was great. I love this. You can tell we're not real scripted around here. You know what I mean? We want to welcome some new members. We have a number of families that have recently joined Liberty, and some of you know them, some of you may not, because we have two services. There are now people going to your church you don't know. So that means you have to behave when you're out in the community, because you might bump into one of your co-members. Ryan and Jenny Espenshai. You clean up good, dude.
Thank you.
We are excited to have you with us. We're looking forward to many years of ministry together. Amen. So, anything you want to say?
Here you go. Here's your change.
No. Uh-oh.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure just getting to know everybody and being a part of this church. We're really proud of the integrity that's here, as well as the realness. The willingness to face issues that a lot of churches aren't willing to. And so we're really proud to be a part of it. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate that. God bless you. Thank you. Love Thank you guys.
You. Ditto.
Ditto. All right.
Ditto. Do we get flowers? Is that what he said?
All right.
My wife will give you a flower.
Somebody get the Espenshides the flowers. This next one is kind of fun because you probably all already know this family because they come both to Saturday night and Sunday morning, and that's Del and Michelle Woods. Come on up.
Give them the mic.
Here you go. I know you've been waiting for this.
Not necessarily. We're just thankful to the Lord for leading us here. We know that his hand was involved. We feel the spirit and the mutual love that each one has shown us. We're just thankful. We sometimes talk about how we don't understand necessarily why everybody won't want to come Saturday night and Sunday morning, only because it really is a blessing. Really, it is a blessing. You know, you would think Dr. Vaughn says the same thing on Sunday morning that he does Saturday night, but there's a lot of differences, subtle differences, but differences. but it's just a joy to even to sit through it, participate in it, and we just thank each and every one of you for bringing us in and loving us, and we thank God most of all for leading us here.
Amen. Thank you.
And God bless you. Don't take for granted what you have here, because we've been elsewhere, and we know what is real here. So
God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Tom and Jamie Piper. Come on.
I'm dead. I knew I could count on Tom to wear blue jeans.
So, you know, I'm going to share a word real quick.
Here you go, Tom.
Hi, pretty ditto. Girl. Ditto. No mic for Tom and Jamie.
One sec.
So, Tom, did you find out about Liberty through Voice of Liberty, the radio ministry?
It was actually through a friend, but I first really became interested through listening to Voice of Liberty.
Okay, yeah. Great. That's awesome.
Listening to the service and stuff. So I guess, you know, it is appropriate to say ditto because a lot of the comments have already been expressed, but it's just a pleasure to be part of the body. This is awesome church. I guess if I was to sum up in a phrase, and I don't know who I stole this from, but I would say that my motto is blessed to be a blessing, and that's what's cool about this church. You can see that that's working through.
Good. It's awesome.
And this is one of?
One of one.
One of one.
One of one.
All right. Cool.
Many more to come, I'm sure. All right. God bless you guys.
All right. Now, here's a family that's actually been around for a while, but they finally decided to join. That's David and Heather Kesselring. Where are the Kesselrings? All right. I know right where to look for each family. Yeah. Kesselrings. The Kents. Wait a second. And David, how's your school going?
School is over.
School is
over.
All right. So it's a doctor. It's Dr. Kesselring now.
Yeah, I guess I just want to thank the whole church for the way that they have embraced us, and I just love this church. As Dave mentioned, we have been here probably 3.5 years, and this is the first time that we've decided that God was calling us to membership. But it's really great to see everybody, and when we were worshiping, Heather just mentioned that she misses having the whole church together. It's really great to have this.
Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Amen. Ditto?
Ditto.
Ditto? All right. Love you guys.
I would actually echo that. I mean, having the whole church here together, worshiping as one body instead of Saturday night and Sunday morning. I mean, I was in tears practically when we were worshiping, and it was really fun to, and you know, as we recognize different people, I just want to recognize the body here because it really is a blessing to come and worship with people that I feel like have a hunger and thirst for knowing God and that are worshiping in spirit and in truth. And this worship service this morning just brought tears to my eyes. So I just want to thank this entire body. Just it's such a privilege to come and to worship with you people. So having said that, Drew and Lori Carpenter, they're close by. And you're missing your wife. Hey, welcome.
Is that Drew and Lori? No.
This is Kiriana, and she was so cute in the drama, wasn't she?
Yes. She's still cute.
Nope, she doesn't want to say anything. How about you?
Yeah, well, I was going back and forth about what to say and whether I was going to say anything, so now I've got a mic and I'm going to talk.
Right. Now, Drew was at my house until 2 o'clock the other morning, so I know he likes to talk.
I've got preacher blood in me too, so I can go on and on. So, but I wanted to first mention Kiriana. She was brought to the Lord last February. So
praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord for that. I will keep it short. The one thing that I really like about this church, and the main thing that I look for when I'm looking at churches, is whether or not the truth is spoken and whether the truth is loved. And I can say emphatically yes to liberty. And as a lover of truth, I love other lovers of truth. And that's this body right here. So I praise the Lord that he has led us here. We did find out about Liberty on the radio. We were listening for about 2 years, maybe even 3 years. We had a 40-minute drive to the church that we were attending, so we were able to hear the whole sermon every Sunday. So
you're able to hear half the sermon, probably.
Yeah, that's right. 30-minute broadcast. But it's just been great, and we're really enjoying the fellowship and the truth that's here, and look forward to many more years of it. So thank you.
Praise the Lord.
I love when the sermons get introduced on the radio. It's always part 1A, part 2B, because each sermon takes like 3 weeks to get through on the radio. So.
Is he saying I talked too long?
No, I didn't say that.
Is that what's going on?
I did not say that.
The radio's too short.
Yeah, radio's too short.
All right, Brett and Karen Avance.
All right.
Give it up.
How are you?
Brett's got preacher blood, so I think he's going to want to. I think he's going to want to say something.
Go ahead.
Ditto. I just want to, you know, just say it's great to be here, and it's really cool and actually unique to be part of the body of Christ that has both depth and breadth. And I don't think everybody here maybe may not realize it, but you know, Christ is definitely loved here, and the influence of Liberty goes far and wide. And so I just want to thank Tom Piper and for inviting me here, and Pastor Vaughn through Whitfield also for inviting us here. And I think Karen wants to say something.
All right. Ditto. All right, we love you guys. Give it up. Thank you. Before I, I'm going to share the word, believe it or not. We have a few moments left, but before that, we have a skit. Awesome, amen. Powerful. That was good, really good. Marty, I'm taking your stand. Got a few minutes. I'm just going to share scripture. If you got a Bible, open to Matthew 5, if you would. Why do we do what we do? That's the question. Why do we do what we do? Matthew 5, Jesus is talking. He says in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine, or so shine, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Lord, as we look at your word, open our hearts and minds. I pray that each one of us would receive instruction from you through your Spirit. We pray in your name. Amen. You know, if you ask yourself why we do what we do, you could say, in a way, this is why we do what we do. When you look at the New Testament, there are many, many scriptures that talk about the church. And I often get the question, what's your vision for the church? And the difficulty with that question is I think that you can't give a sound bite answer to that question. The mission of the church is multifaceted. There are many things the church is to do. We are to disciple the nations. We are to reach the lost. We are to train men and women to be godly husbands and wives, to be godly parents. We are to catechize children. We are to do all sorts of things. So it's not just one thing we do. We do many things. We're to reach out to the poor and to the homeless. Many, many things the church ought to be doing. But Jesus kind of summarizes his vision for the church here. And the important thing is not my vision, it's his vision. Amen? What does Jesus want his people to be and do? What is important to Jesus? And here he says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." Now, I can just imagine the 12 saying, "Is he talking to us? We're the light? A fisherman, a tax collector? We are the light?" And that's how many of us feel, right? We read this text and we think, okay, well, he's talking to the apostles. And we envision the apostles of these guys with these long beards and robes, and they're intelligent, and they knew Jesus, and they have special anointings and powers, and, well, they're the light. But certainly we're not the light. They're the light. Jesus said he was the light of the world, right? Then he says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." What is he saying? What is he saying to his church? What does he mean by being the light? Well, when you look in Scripture, this symbolism of light means many things. It means, for example, God's very essence. In 1 John, it says God is light. It talks about Christ, who says, "I'm the light of the world." It speaks of salvation. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The light speaks of the gospel. In Corinthians, it speaks of the light of the glory, the glorious gospel, or the gospel of the glory of Christ shining in one's heart. So the gospel is a light. Even God's word in general is called a light. David speaks of wisdom and knowledge, and he speaks of getting light from God's law or God's word. So light in the broadest sense means everything that's good. That's what it means. If we had to sum up light, we would say that light speaks of beauty, radiance, and utility. It speaks of holiness, purity, and wisdom. It speaks of everything that is good. Darkness, on the contrary, is the universal symbol of calamity, of confusion, of ignorance, and all that is evil. Light is the opposite. Therefore, light suggests everything that is good and wholesome. So what does that have to do with us? Very simply, Jesus is saying to his followers, that is the church, we are to exemplify everything that is good. It's really that simple. You know, when we acknowledge various people today in their service, we are acknowledging the light. We're acknowledging the good that we see in people. You know, it's not at Liberty, if you're around long enough, you know, it's not about the programs. Amen? It's about the people. And many of the ministries at Liberty, and we don't call them programs, we call them ministries. Many of the ministries at Liberty were not started by the church leadership. They're started by the people in the church. Because the people in the church have a passion for a particular ministry. The people in the church have a passion for serving others. They want to be the light. And so when someone comes to me and says, I want to shine, I'm going to let them shine. Amen? I don't want to put them under a bushel basket. I want them to shine. So the church is to be the light, meaning we are to reflect God Himself. Peter says that we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light that we might declare, the old King James says, declare His praises. Some versions say, display His excellencies. That's glorious. We are called out of darkness that in us God's beauty would be reflected. Christ, being the light of the world, had a ministry of truth. So the church is called upon to share and speak the truth in love. We're to share the gospel, amen? Preaching the gospel to every creature. And the gospel gives the light of the glory of Christ into the hearts of men. God's word gives light. And so we should be people of the word, people who meditate in His word, read His word, pray over His word, come to hear His word preached, people that share the word with one another and share the word with the lost. I think the best summary, if you will, of what it means to be people of light is found in Ephesians 4, if you want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. It's a long passage, but I think it's important for us to read it, and then we're going to close. In Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul says this. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened." There's the darkness, right? "Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Isn't that good? All throughout this text, the long text, there's a contrast between darkness and light, in how we speak and how we treat one another, whether we walk in bitterness or forgiveness, all the way through, dark and light, dark and light. We are called to be the light of the world. So many lessons, but we only have a few moments. Let me say this. Being the light is a matter of divine appointment. What do I mean? In Matthew, Jesus said, and this is very important, he said to his church, "You are the light of the world." He didn't say, "You should be." You are. God has not appointed some to be light and others to be darkness. God has appointed every Christian and every Christian in congregation by their very union with Jesus Christ to be the light of the world. The question is not, should I be a light? The question is how bright is my light? Because I am the light. Secondly, this light that we shine is both individual and corporate. Each one of us is called to shine our light wherever we are. That is in our home, in our school, in our workplace, in our community. We individually are lights, but we corporately together have a mission to be the light of the world. Therefore, my third point is that the light cannot and should not be hidden. Jesus says, a man doesn't build a city and then try to hide it. He says a city that's on a hill cannot be hidden. Notice he does not say should not be hidden. He says it cannot. Jesus uses what's called the indicative. It's a matter of fact. Number one, you are a light. And it's a matter of fact that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Guess what? We cannot be hidden. We might think we can be hidden. We might try to hide our light. But in fact, we cannot be hidden. The church cannot be hidden because God has placed us here in order to be seen. That's why we're here. And then the Lord says the lamp should not be hidden. The city can't be hidden. It's too big. It's too obvious. The lamp should not be hidden. Because men don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket. You don't light the lamp in your house and put it under the couch. Right? You light the lamp and you set it where it will light in the room. Jesus said, the salt without the savor is useless, yet the lamp under a basket is absurd. It's a contradiction in terms for a lamp to be hidden. That's not the point of the lamp. And when Christians try to hide their light, they act in an absurd way, contrary to God's design. God's very purpose is that the church corporately and you and I individually, His purpose is that we would be shining light to all of those around us. John Wesley said this, I've read this quote to you before, but it's so apropos. Listen, he says, "So impossible it is to keep our religion from being seen unless we cast it away. So vain is the thought of hiding the light unless by putting it out. Sure it is that a secret, unobserved religion cannot be the religion of Jesus Christ. Whatever religion can be concealed, it is not Christianity." Don't you love that? God wills for you and I to shine our light. We are the light of the world. And God has placed us here at this moment in history because God has a calling on us individually, and He has a calling on our church at this time in history to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That is why we are here. We are here to shine for Christ. And speaking of Christ, it's all about Him. Amen? Then the last point I want to make, and then we're going to fellowship over some food, is this. That in order for the light to shine, in order for a lamp to shine, it needs oil. In the Old Testament, there was what's called a menorah, a candlestick, seven candles. And in the vision that was given to Habakkuk, there was an olive tree in the temple. Now, there really isn't an olive tree in the temple, but it was a symbol. And the olive tree was there next to the candles, to the menorah. What's the point of the symbol? The olive tree provided the olive oil, right? And it's the oil that kept the candles burning. Today, we don't use, well, most of us don't use oil. Maybe on a camping trip, we'd use some oil. We use electricity. The point is that in order for a lamp to shine, it needs power. It needs to be energized. The power to shine is not in us, is it? And some of you know that because you feel like a candle that's about this tall. Your wax is all burned down. You feel like a lamp, an oil lamp that's all the oil is burned down and there's maybe a little oil left in that wick and it's beginning to flicker. Or maybe you feel like an electrical lamp when it's plugged in, but the switch isn't working, or it works intermittently, and you get a little flash of light, and then it goes off, and then it goes on, because there's a short in the circuit. The source of our light is not in us. It's ultimately not even in one another, although we minister to one another. The source of our light is Jesus Christ Himself. Because although He looks at us, and if Jesus were here today, He could look at this church and say what He said to the 12. You are the light of the world. We say, Lord, but I can't do that. I can't shine. And Jesus says, yes, you can. Because I'm the light of the world, and I am in you. You see, our light is a reflected light, a reflected glory. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, it doesn't create its own light, it reflects light, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to behold the moon at night, is it not? But you take the light away, it's just a big rock. The glory of the moon is a reflected glory. And so the glory of the church, or the light of the church, is a reflected glory. It's a reflected light. We are the light of the world. This is true. but how bright we are, how clean we are, how beautiful we are, how radiant we are, depends on how much we fellowship and know Jesus Christ. Because He is the light. And when there's light shining through a Christian, shining through a Christian home, shining through a Christian church, that light is the reflected glory of Jesus. And so when you see a Christian that's all lit up, you know that that Christian is spending time with Jesus. Amen? That Christian is walking with Jesus because it's the light of Jesus shining through them. One last verse and we're going to close. 2 Corinthians 3, which I read to you actually last week. Contrasting the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was glorious, but the new covenant is more glorious, Paul says. When Moses went to the mount, he spent time with God, and because of his fellowship with God, his face was literally on fire. His face was beaming with light, so glorious that he had to put a veil on his face because the children of Israel couldn't look at his face. The light was so striking. And so Paul says that is like for us an object lesson. There's a veil on the heart of men and women by nature. Because we have sinned against God, we're separated from Him and we have a veil on our heart. We're in darkness. But the gospel is light. And the gospel shines light into people's hearts. And when they turn their heart to the Lord, when their heart turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, we all, meaning we Christians, if you know Jesus Christ, the veil that was on your heart has been removed. Amen?
Amen.
The veil is gone. The darkness is past. That's the old man. That's the old life. That's the old way. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. How can I be the light of the world, Jesus? I'm just a broken person. I grew up in a dysfunctional home, and my brother committed suicide. My father was an alcoholic. How can I be the light of the world? Because I have taken the veil off your heart, and I have filled you with my Spirit. And where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is glory. Where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is light. Where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is radiance and beauty and excellence. You are the light of the world. Some of you, Pastor, don't tell me. I don't want to be the light of the world. I don't want to do that. It's too hard. It's too much responsibility. I just can't take the burden. Let me tell you. Paul says in this same passage, look at verse 3. I know I keep on saying I'm going to stop. I really will. Chapter 3, verse 5. Look at this. It's good. You keep on closing your Bibles, see? Because I hear you zipping them open again. It ain't over till it's over. Verse 5. Not that we, talking about the glory of the new covenant, not that we, Paul's talking, an apostle, look at your Bible, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And then when he goes on at the end of this chapter, he tells them the means of that sufficiency. We are sufficient to be the light because we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. The veil has been removed. The darkness has passed. Jesus, who is the light of the world, dwells in your heart and he dwells in the temple of his church. And he does so through his Spirit. So how we then are the light? We're the light because we fellowship with Jesus through His Spirit. That's really what it gets down to. Everything we talked about today, all the ministry activity, everything ultimately flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The difference between Christianity and biblical Christianity is whether or not Jesus is the living reality in the life of his people. Because when he is, then we see light. And it's that light that draws men and women to Jesus. It's that light that convicts us of sin. It's that light that removes the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and you and I have the privilege of being the reflected glory of Jesus Christ. It's not a burden. It's an awesome privilege. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and pray.